All right, let's kick off another deep dive. And today we're tackling procurement negotiations.
Ooh.
You know those sometimes kind of tricky back and forths you have with suppliers?
Right, yeah.
Well, we've got a great guide for us today. It's a blog post by Gaurav Sharma, a real pro in procurement. He runs SuperNegotiate. And in this post, he breaks down five common sales tricks, I guess we could call them, that suppliers use.
Okay.
And the thing is, these aren't just like random things they pull out of a hat. They're actually strategies that are often, get this, taught in sales training.
Wow.
So if we can understand them, we'll be way better at navigating those negotiations and avoiding those, wait, did I just get blowed moments?
Yeah, it's fascinating how many buyers I think go into negotiations without realizing they're up against a system, you know?
Right.
Like Gaurav's post really, it shines a light on that whole thing.
It's like going into a chess match thinking your opponent is just randomly moving pieces around.
Exactly.
So let's break down these tactics. What's the first one we should be looking out for?
Well, the first one Gaurav talks about is the feeler quotation.
Oh,
You got
yeah.
that initial quote. Well, you got to think of it less as like a firm offer and more as a reconnaissance mission on their part.
Reconnaissance mission.
Yeah.
Okay, now that sounds
It
intense.
is. It is. They're trying to figure out like what, you know,
Huh.
how desperate you are to get a deal done. Are you seriously looking at other suppliers? All that good stuff.
Oh, I see.
So their first offer is often designed to kind of test your reaction and just gather information.
So what's the play then when we get that initial quote? I'm guessing we shouldn't just accept it at face value.
No, definitely not. Instead of like jumping straight into haggling over the price,
Yeah.
try a strategic counter move.
Yeah.
You know,
Okay.
you could say something like, okay, we appreciate the quote, but before we like delve into the numbers, could you walk us through how you arrived at this pricing?
Oh, I'm
You
bad.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
That shows you're doing your due diligence, but you're not revealing your budget or
Right.
your strategy.
I like that approach because it shifts the focus back to them and forces them to justify their pricing.
Exactly. And it
Yeah.
gives you like valuable information about their pricing methodology
Yeah.
and maybe some insights into their cost structure, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've successfully navigated the feeler quotation minefield.
Right.
What's the next trap that suppliers might try to set for us?
Okay, this next one is the apples and oranges comparison. Have you ever encountered a supplier who makes their product or service sound so unique
Oh, yeah.
that it's impossible to compare it to their competitors?
All the time. They love to, throw in all those extra features and talk about value-added benefits.
Yeah.
It's like trying to compare, I don't know, a basic smartphone to a high-end tablet.
Yeah.
They're different, but how do you actually quantify that difference in the price?
Yeah.
Have you seen this tactic play out in real-world situations?
Oh, absolutely. I once worked with a company that was procuring a new software system. The vendor we were dealing with, oh, they kept emphasizing their proprietary algorithms and unique integration capabilities,
Right.
made it sound like their system was in a league of its own.
Uh-huh.
But when we actually broke down the functionality,
Yeah.
it wasn't all that different from some of the other options on the market. You know what I mean?
So how did you handle that situation?
Well, we had to be really diligent about comparing, as they say, apples to apples, you know?
Right.
We stripped away all the marketing fluff, focused on the core functionalities we actually needed.
Yeah.
We actually created like a side-by-side comparison chart to really see how the different systems stacked up on those essential features.
Okay.
Yeah, and that helped us see through the vendor's attempt to kind of obscure the true comparison, you know?
That's a great strategy.
Yeah.
Keeps everyone focused on the essentials and prevents you from getting blinded by all the bells and whistles.
Exactly. Don't let yourself get distracted by the shiny object. Stay focused on that core value that you're looking for.
Love it. So we've handled the feeler quotation and the apples and oranges comparison.
Right.
What's the next hurdle that we need to be ready for?
Okay, this one is a bit more subtle and potentially, I think, more challenging to manage. Gaurav calls it the communication cutoff challenge. It all revolves around this concept of a communication blackout during a formal sourcing process.
Communication blackout. Could you explain that a bit more? It sounds like something out of a spy movie.
It might sound dramatic, but it's a standard practice in procurement. The idea is to prevent suppliers from like inappropriately influencing decision makers outside of the official channels during a sourcing event. And
So it's like a cone of silence descends in the whole procurement process.
yeah.
I can see why that's important to keep things, fair and transparent.
Precisely. The problem is suppliers know this blackout is coming. Right. So they'll often try to build relationships and spread their message across different departments before the cutoff takes effect.
So they're working the angles early on,
Yeah.
trying to get a foot in the door with various stakeholders. That's pretty savvy, I have to admit.
It is. It
Yeah.
is. And even after the blackout is in place, some suppliers will push the boundaries.
Only.
Oh, yeah. They might try to casually bump into someone from the decision-making team at a conference or reach out to a technical person under the guise of a clarification question.
So it sounds like simply issuing a communication cutoff memo, that's not enough.
Right.
You need to have a solid strategy for actually enforcing it.
Absolutely. And that starts with clear internal communication.
Okay.
Everyone in the organization needs to understand the rules of the blackout and why it's so crucial to follow them. You might even want to provide specific examples of what constitutes a violation.
Right. So if someone from engineering gets a friendly call from a supplier asking about technical specs, they need to know that's a red flag.
Exactly. And you need a system for reporting and tracking any violations.
Okay.
If someone gets contacted by a supplier during the blackout, they should know exactly who to report it to.
And I imagine that documentation is key here.
Oh, absolutely.
If a supplier repeatedly tries to skirt the rules,
Right.
you need to have a record of that.
Documentation provides evidence if you need to take action against a supplier.
Yeah.
It also helps you analyze patterns and refine your procurement process going forward.
It's almost like you're building a case file on each supplier.
In a way, yeah.
Okay.
You're gathering data to inform your decisions. And speaking of data, technology can play a huge role in managing this whole process.
Oh, that's interesting. How so?
There are software platforms specifically designed to manage supplier communication during these sensitive periods. They can track all interactions, flag potential violations, and even provide a secure channel for legitimate communication if it's absolutely necessary.
That sounds like a game changer.
It is.
Takes so much of the burden off the procurement team and helps ensure a level playing field.
Exactly. And that leads us to the next tactic Gaurav highlights in his post, which I think you'll find quite interesting. This one plays on the comfort we tend to feel with familiar suppliers.
Okay.
He calls it the renewal roller coaster.
Renewal roller coaster, huh? Okay, I'm intrigued. What's the ride like on this one?
All right, so picture this. You've spent months, maybe even years, working with a supplier. You've hammered out a good contract. Things are running smoothly.
Right.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
So when renewal time rolls around, it's easy to just coast along on autopilot.
Yeah, I can see that you've already built that trust
Right.
and familiarity, so maybe you're not as likely to, scrutinize every little detail of the new contract.
That's exactly what suppliers are banking on.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They know you might not be as vigilant during a renewal, so they might try to sneak in some changes that benefit them.
Like what?
Oh, think like subtle price hikes, tweaked service level agreements, maybe even some new terms and conditions that weren't in the original deal.
It's like they're slowly shifting the balance of power, hoping you won't notice until it's too late.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And because you have that existing relationship, you might hesitate to push back
Right.
or shop around for other
Well,
options.
interesting. So Garv gives some advice on how to avoid this, how to avoid getting taken for a ride
He does.
on the renewal roller coaster.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear. How do we stay in the driver's seat here?
Well, first and foremost, treat every renewal as a brand new negotiation.
Okay.
Don't just assume everything will be the same.
Right.
Go back to square one, reevaluate your needs, and examine every single clause in that proposed contract.
So don't let the supplier kind of dictate the terms. It's
Exactly.
about taking control and remembering that we have options.
Exactly. Benchmark against current market rates. Reach out to other suppliers, even if you're happy with your current one. You might be surprised at the competitive offers you get.
It's a good reminder that loyalty is great, but it shouldn't cost you money or compromise your business goals.
Absolutely. And here's another crucial tip from Garv. Documentation is your best friend.
Okay.
Keep detailed records of the supplier's performance, past pricing, all communication related to the contract. That gives you leverage when you're negotiating the renewal.
It's like having a solid paper trail,
Yes. Yeah.
to back up your position if the supplier tries to pull a fast one.
Exactly.
I'm sensing a theme here. Being informed and prepared is key in every stage of the negotiation.
You got it. And that brings us to the fifth and final tactic in Garv's playbook. This one plays on our fear of missing out.
Okay.
He calls it the limited time offer illusion.
Oh, the classic, act now or miss out on this incredible deal. We've
Exactly.
all seen that one before.
Suppliers might claim that their prices are only valid for a short time or
Right.
that they have limited inventory available. They might even hint that another company is interested in the deal, trying to create a sense of urgency and competition.
So how do we avoid falling for this? You know, I can imagine it can be pretty tempting to jump on a deal if you think it's about to disappear.
The key is to stay calm and don't panic.
Okay.
First, verify their claims.
All right.
Is there really a time constraint? Is their inventory actually that limited? Often it's just a bluff designed to push you into making a hasty decision.
So don't be afraid to call their bluff. Do your due diligence. Make sure their claims actually hold water.
And remember, you always have the power to walk away from a deal if you're not comfortable with the terms, right?
Right.
There are other suppliers out there, and rushing into a bad deal just because of a manufacturer deadline is never a good idea.
This has been so insightful. We've learned so much about these subtle but powerful tactics that suppliers use. It's like you've given us a secret decoder ring to decipher their strategies.
And just like a decoder ring, this knowledge gives you the power to level the playing field. By recognizing these tactics, you can confidently navigate negotiations and secure the best possible deals for your organization.
I love it. So what does this all mean for you, our listener? Think back to a recent negotiation you were involved in. Did any of these tactics sound familiar? How might being aware of them change your approach next time? And if you're eager to learn even more about negotiation strategies, I highly recommend checking out Gaurav Sharma's Super Negotiate blog. He's a wealth of information, whether you're on the buying or the selling side of the table. Until next time, happy negotiating.